I want to say something to all you. You know, since the Spirit of God is moving the way He is, we're not going to criticize anybody that's laying anywhere in the church. Because Ryan was hit with an anointing and he passed down in the bookstore. And we're going to see a lot of that. And so let's not be critical about where somebody's lying. Step over them. Just thank God they're in the Spirit and that God is moving on their lives. God gave Ryan a promise that what no man could do, he was going to do. So we don't want to stop the moving of the Spirit in any way, shape, or form. All right. We know from past experience, and I hope it's a better experience, that God's just going to knock you down where He wants to knock you down. And He's going to move wherever He wants to move and how He wants to move. And so since we're into that, I want to just want to tell you a few things about it so that you don't destroy the anointing in the moving of God. Don't ever force anybody to get out of their seat if they really say, no, I don't want to. Just leave them alone because then that breaks the anointing on them. And I'm not saying you did that. I'm just saying don't do that. If you want to shout and jump and carry on, that's fine. But don't try to get somebody else to do in their flesh what you're doing in the Spirit. All right? I think that's all I saw that I really wanted. And you didn't do anything wrong tonight, please. I'm just trying to instruct you. You might get somebody in here that hasn't been in here before, and you go yank them out there. They're going to not want to come back. They're allowed to poke you in the nose to begin with. I used to have people yank on me, and that's not me. So please don't yank on me, and don't smack me on the head trying to get me to fall down either. All right? If the Holy Spirit wants to take me down, He'll take me down. Let's just flow with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do what He does best, and that's minister to His people. Well, Father, we just thank You and we praise You tonight. Father, I just give You all honor and all glory, and I thank You that Your Holy Spirit was here during praise and worship in a powerful way, that Your angelic hosts were here also. And I thank You, Father God, for the joy and the laughter, because this is what Palm Sunday's all about. God's triumphal entry into the city. He didn't come weeping, He came rejoicing. And Father God, this is what this day has been all about, rejoicing in You. So right now, Father, I'm asking that You continue to minister to Your people. I'm asking You, Father God, to take us up higher than You've ever taken us before. And Father, bless what the enemy has cursed. And Father, I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, this is a prophetic word from God. I want you to really listen to it very intently. You have to understand that now, since you have that little camera sitting there, that you aren't the only ones that God is speaking to. That He's speaking to whoever else is watching out there. And so everything that God is saying doesn't apply to you anymore. It applies to people who had never heard things before. So don't say, oh, well, here she goes again. No, she doesn't do anything, but the Holy Spirit is going to talk to whomsoever He wills. And at the beginning of this prophetic word God gave me, He is talking to other people, but then He starts talking to the remnant. But I want you to listen to everything that He's saying, and whatever applies for you, take it in. If it doesn't, don't take it in. See, this is what upsets me with the body of Christ. You get all bent out of shape, and if it doesn't apply to you, then just let it roll off your back. You know, and if it's bothering you, then I would say something's in you that God's trying to deal with it, and you're denying it's there. So God says, my people do not understand how they place themselves in jeopardy or danger when they disobey my voice. They think nothing of disobeying my voice, and then when circumstances overwhelm them, they cry out to me for help, and when they perceive I am not listening, they curse me and turn to the dark side. Now, I know that doesn't apply to anybody in here, because after all, you never disobey God's voice, because you have fine-tuned your ears to His voice, and you obey everything you hear, right? Just repent. Take a few minutes to repent right now. Thank you. God said, my word was written for one purpose, to lead, guide, and direct each individual in every area of their lives. I am not a father that is flesh and blood and lies. My words are always yes and amen. I am your eternal father who loves you and only wants the best for you. So I looked up Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Whatever God is, in other words, whatever God has spoken over your life is going to come to pass. It might not be in your timing, but it is going to come to pass. All right. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. This is Jesus speaking. He says, for your word is truth. God goes on to say, it is time you take a good long look at where you have been, where you are right now, and where you are going. It is time for you to face the truth, and that truth is that you lack heavenly understanding. Some of you in here this morning, God gave a very specific word to of instruction. You have never been there before, but now you're going there. Three of you, he spoke that to. You had never been there, but now you're going to go there. All right? And then he says, it is time for you to face the truth, and that truth is that you lack heavenly understanding. And I know that you don't understand what God has told you this morning. I know that there's so much he's going to now download into you that you've never perceived before, and it's going to give you great understanding of what he said to you this morning. Without heavenly knowledge, God says, you will fail in every area of your life. The enemy is on the prowl and has been on the prowl since he was thrown out of heaven. His vision is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that has breath. Without heavenly knowledge of what he spoke to you this morning, you will fail in every area of your life. The enemy is on the prowl, and he wants to kill you. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. In other words, if God gives you a word and you don't understand that word, you sit down with that word and say, God, I don't understand what you're saying to me. I need understanding. God spoke to me the other day, a month ago or so, and said, whatever he spoke to you, if you have a situation going on in your life, when you prayed the first time and he spoke to you, that is what's going to happen. Now, I know you bring it back to God 10 times after that and keep trying to get him to tell you something else about it, and you get yourself all confused. But whatever he spoke the very first time is how it's going to turn out. All right? So quit asking God over and over again, how's this going to turn out? He already told you, and see, you don't believe him, and you don't trust his word, so you keep asking him about that situation over and over and over again. This evil entity is out to destroy, you know, Satan. This evil entity is out to destroy all of humanity with his wicked, evil darkness. His demonic beings are hard at work doing their evil deeds. You have no inclination of what he is transferring against you at this very moment. There's not a one of us sitting in here right now know what Satan has laid before our feet to cause us to stumble, unless God shows it to us. All right? God said, but you, now this is where he talks about the remnant, but you, my elect, the remnant, understand what is transpiring. And I am ready to send you forth on a mission to undo the evil that the enemy has already accomplished, period. The task will not be easy, but it is a task that can be achieved as long as you keep your eyes on the prize of the high calling. And you can see that in Philippians 3:14-21. I have had you on the backside of the desert, and I have put you through combat readiness training. And you are ready to face the evil in this land. It took me a long time to find out what combat readiness training is. If you put in combat readiness, it's a whole different thing as combat readiness training. And how many of you know you've been through training? Amen. So I looked it up anyhow. Combat readiness training is mental/physical readiness. Doing the right thing to get yourself back in the fight, even when completely surprised. You know, God has taught us how to work against the enemy and cause him to flee. You have been trained in every area of combat with the enemy to win. You know, the enemy's never going to win. You're always the winner, and the enemy's always the loser. So you have been in combat readiness training. Now remember that. You throw that back to God. And when you had me there, you trained me exactly how to fight against the wiles of the evil one and win, not lose. God said, these have come, now he's talking about the remnant, which you are. These have come through the furnace of affliction over and over again. They have withstood rejection, been spit upon, and all manner of evil spoken against them. They bore their cross just as my son Jesus carried his. They are ready for anything. Now listen to this, remnant. You are ready for anything the enemy throws at you. You have fortitude and know their, okay, they have fortitude and know their assignments and are ready to carry them out well. Is that true? God said, these have come through the furnace of affliction over and over again. They have withstood rejection, been spit upon, and all manner of evil spoken against them. They bore their cross just as my son Jesus carried his. They are ready for anything the enemy throws at them. I hope we are. They have fortitude and know their assignments and are ready to carry them out well. Not poorly, but he put in there well. They are the harvesters I have prepared to bring in the biggest harvest in church history. They have studied the wiles of the evil one, and there is nothing in his bag of surprises that will take them off guard. Is that witness that you have studied the wiles of the devil? And that there's nothing he can surprise you with? God says that you've studied him and there's nothing he can surprise you with. So why do you get surprised? Why do you get surprised? It's because you forgot what you were taught in your training sessions. Right? Many, and I say many, will come on the scene pretending to be mine, but they are sheep in wolf's clothing. These mighty ones that have been through this strict training will know them and will not be taken off guard by their disguises. And these are the Antichrist that God told me 5 years ago were prevalent in the house of God. He said, the Antichrists are on the scene, and they are taking out my people. Why are they taking God's people out? Because you're not walking in the Spirit the way you ought, and the Antichrist can fool you at every turn. This is why God has been telling us it's so important that we walk in the Spirit and nothing of the flesh can be seen. God said, the remnant are strong towers, and you can read that in Joel chapter 2. These remnants are the ones that have undergone the trials and tribulations of life and gleaned much importance about the demonic workings. Their testimonies will bring many to my footstool. So, you know, we fussed and carried on with all the trials and tribulations we were going through, but we were in training, and God was training us how to prepare ourselves when the enemy come to attack us and be on in the winning circle. All right? And God said, in the coming days, much destruction is coming on the land. At this point, the remnant ones will step forward and go into action. They will teach others what they have learned. They know the scripture that states, freely you have received, freely give. So I looked that scripture up, and it's Matthew 10:1. And when Jesus had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And Jesus said, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It says here that God said all this to his disciples. Are you a disciple of God's? If you've been sitting in the house of God, truly gleaning the truth from his word and learning that word and then living by that word, then you are a disciple. And this scripture applies to you. But if you've just been sitting in the house of God and not gleaning anything from his word and still working in the ways of the world and walking in the ways of the world, then you are not a true disciple. You're just a body sitting in a chair, never growing, never changing. In the same way you came in is the same way you go out. God said, today I say to you that you have been taught by the very best teacher in heaven, my Holy Spirit. I thought he was going to say Barbara Lynch. No, I'm just teasing. Today I say to you that you have been taught by the very best teacher in heaven, my Holy Spirit. He will continue to teach you all things. Remember I told you when I was first born again, I wanted to go away to Bible school like everybody does. And God said, no, I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. Not a man, not a woman, but my Holy Spirit to teach you. And you know, when somebody's teaching you something, what you need to be doing is sitting there in the Spirit, and God will tell you things about what you're hearing. All right? And John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And you know, when you're in a bind, the enemy has you in a box, the Holy Spirit will remind you what God said about that situation. And as he reminds you, then you won't get all upset, but you'll be rejoicing knowing that God already has this thing under control and he's already worked the whole thing out. But see, we don't do that, do we? We get in that little bind and right away we start our little whimpering and, God, where are you at? We go all through that. But see, if you remember, if you say, Holy Spirit, what did God, this is what I do. Holy Spirit, what did God tell me was going to happen in this situation? And the Holy Spirit will remind you what God said. And then even though, you know, the thing isn't taken care of right there, you know, in your flesh, God already told you that how that thing was going to turn out. So you don't have to be involved in it. You just say, thank you, God, that you're already working on the scene. All right. And John 16:7 says, Jesus says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, and Standby will not come to you. Into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. See, Jesus had to go away so the Holy Spirit could come. Do you understand that? If Jesus would have stayed on the earth, only Jesus would have had the Holy Spirit, and nobody else would have. As soon as he went away, the disciples had the Holy Spirit. And then when they ministered to people and they baptized and everything, they baptized them in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had to do what he had to do. And like God told me, first of all, it was the Father, then the Son, then the Holy Spirit. He said, now I'm back on the scene again, and I'm going to make these things happen. And he told me, he said, the church was walking all over his Holy Spirit, and he was very upset with that. So he came back on the scene. And when he came back on the scene, Brother Allen, he came back with a big club because he was tired of the church stepping all over the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm not going to allow this any longer. So he came back and he's been chastising the church, judging the church for quite some time. And I know when I was born again and he put me, you know, in leadership, everything he had me do was to go into churches where there was nothing but pastors, and he would chastise them for their sin nature. Very few changed Very few changed. And the ones that were the pastors of the church I was in, they got mad at me because God used me to tell the truth. So they went around to the other churches and told them, don't believe a word she said because she's not of God. And now those pastors are dead and gone. And I'm hoping that they got their life together before they died, because if not, they're not in the right place. You need to be walking with God. You need to be walking in the Holy Spirit, and you need the Holy Spirit to work with you. And you work with the Holy Spirit. Okay, Jesus went on to say, and when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me, trust in, rely on, and adhere to me. About righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because a ruler, evil genius prince of this world, who is Satan. Now look at this. He's judged and condemned and sentenced already. Sentence already has been passed upon him. He's already been judged and condemned. And why do we run from him? Why do we allow him to control us? He's already been judged. It tells you where he's going to end up at. But yet, do you know how many of the body of Christ still follow Satan? No, I don't. Yes, you do. Are you living a holy life? You can no longer, there's no gray area. I really hate to bust your bubble. You're either in black or you're in white. You're either serving God or you're serving Satan. And you know what you're doing. You know, there's no little sin and no big sin. Sin is sin. And you know what you're doing. And you know whether or not you're taking your own self to hell or to heaven. And none of us know where we're going to end up at. So what do we have to do? God said, work out your salvation. How? Daily. Once saved, always saved is alive from the pits of hell. And it has taken many to hell. And there's many more that's going to go there if they don't quit believing that lie. And I'm hearing God say the truth is the truth and his word is total truth. And all you have to do is get into his word and you'll find out what the truth is. God said, it is by my Holy Spirit that the glory will operate in all of its fullness. My Holy Spirit speaks what I tell him to speak, nothing more, nothing less. See, some of you that have a mouth that just keeps running and running and running, you're not ruled by the Holy Spirit. That's your flesh talking. How many of you, when you just say you have company over, and you're doing a lot of talking, and all of a sudden you know that you need to shut up? You know, because God doesn't want you doing that. What happens when you do that? Your flesh starts coming out, doesn't it? And it's no longer the Holy Spirit leading you to speak. It's you saying what you want to say. That happened to me yesterday. And God said, I don't want you to talk no more. I just want you to be quiet. So I said to people, you got to go home now. Because I was talking too much and I was getting ready to go into the flesh, and God didn't want that. Do you understand that? You do not have to always talk and entertain people. I'm sorry, you don't. That's not your job. If God wants people entertained, he'll get people to entertain him. Your job is to be ruled by the Holy Spirit and only say what the Holy Spirit tells you to say. All right, lost my place. If only the church would give my Holy Spirit the honor he is due. My Holy Spirit desires to be a friend to you, but cannot because the church does not believe in him. There's churches out there that does not believe in the Holy Spirit whatsoever. And there's churches that won't know there's a Holy Spirit, but they will not allow the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in their services because they want to say what they want to say. All right? God said, but my remnant knows him well. Now, think about it. Do you know the Holy Spirit well? And they rely on his guidance in all things. They embrace him to their bosom and allow him to move through them. They are willing vessels to be used by the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you saying, "Here I am, Lord, use me," and then you shut up. Then you only, if the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks. If he doesn't, you don't say a word. All right, let's just talk about this morning. You know, God told me four times to play that last song over again. And three times I didn't because I felt uncomfortable about it. So the fourth time I said, play that song over again. But what happened was, whoever controls the sound did not turn it down low and left it up high, and it broke the anointing. And we couldn't get it back. And so God said, okay, we'll just do altar service call now. But if the song would have been played softly, the way it should have been played, God would have moved in a greater way. So what I'm using that as an example to show you that you cannot out, you know, you have to be following the Holy Spirit. And whoever's doing the sound, if you were listening to the Holy Spirit would have said, play it softly. So you have to, what I'm saying is you have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I don't care what position you have in the church. You have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. All right? The people who turned on the camera were not guided by the Holy Spirit. They didn't turn the camera on. And then somebody says, is the camera on? We shouldn't ever have to ask that. Because I don't care how much you're in the Spirit, you have a job to do, and you need to do that job, and the Holy Spirit will still stay with you. Yep, stepped on some toes right then, so we'll move on, all right? God said, this is a dispensation of time where all things are new and all things have been removed. All things are new. So everything that was old in your life should be totally gone. Absolutely nothing will ever be the same. Church will not be church as usual. I will have the freedom to move any way I so desire in my true houses of worship. So if you're coming into this house of God and you're looking for God to move the way you want him to move, it's not going to happen because I give him full rule and reign in every service we have. And he does what he wants to do and we just follow along with him and we allow him to move the way he wants to move. You know, I have some people in here that are true prophets and they don't want to ruffle any feathers. So God uses them to speak a smooth word. Then after they speak this smooth word, then here he comes to me. Now I'm going to use you to chastise. And some people say, all you ever do is chastise. Well, you need to hear the truth. And the truth will set you free. And you know, whenever God gets into your business through me, you know it's God because nobody else knows your business except you and God. You know what I'm saying? So don't stifle what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Sometimes I say, oh, God, not again. You know, because everybody's so happy. They're getting these nice, sweet words, and they're getting away with their sin. And, you know, they're just happy, happy, happy. But God says, no, you're not going to heaven that way. And I know there's times some people come in and they want a word, and God said, they really don't want to hear what I have to say to them right now. He does tell me that, and he will not give a word. So, you know, and I tell the prophets, I said, if God isn't giving you a word, then don't you give one. Because God doesn't want to speak to him right then. And it could be that you just couldn't stand the truth at that point. You know, God will speak to you, but not at that point. Because right at that point, there's something in your life going on and you can't stand the truth. All right? Okay, where am I at? God is forcing the church to change. And sacred. Boy, isn't he forcing you to change? And it's hard to change too, isn't it? Because we get in a rut. And we like our rut. But he's saying, no, if I'm going to use you, you're going to change. You're going to learn to be still when I tell you to be still. And you're going to learn to move when I tell you to move. All right? There for quite a few months, he told us, be still. Be still. I thought he was in a rut. He was always telling us to be still, you know. But he worked all things out, didn't he? So being still was where we were supposed to be at, and he was doing all the work. But while we was being still, we were supposed to be happy and rejoicing, and we weren't doing that. We were thinking in our brain and thinking God doesn't know what we're thinking, why doesn't he do something real quick like? Weren't we doing that? Yes, thank you for wanting to be an honest. Thank you. God sees that too. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. A new creation altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. How many of you sometimes said, God, there's that's still old stuff. It's still there. Please take it out of me. You know, your flesh wants to go back to the old stuff because it knows what's going on there. And your flesh is fighting the new because you don't know where God's taking you to. All right. Come on. People are not going to understand you. If you're moving by the Spirit, people will not understand you. Because the flesh and the carnal nature said, this is the way it's supposed to be. But God's not there where the flesh and the carnal nature is. He's walking by the Spirit. Moving by the Spirit. And see, you don't understand heavenly things. If you do, I'm going to talk to you after church, all right? All right. These churches, talking about the remnant churches, have already made a way for my Holy Spirit to move. And they are starved for the supernatural. And that goes for most of you in here, right? They continually cry out to me to move heaven and earth and bring my glory in its fullness. The supernatural will move in these houses of worship. I have promised the glory in all of its fullness, and that is exactly what I intend to do. Now, we know that God told us the glory's been here all along. But we also know that here in the last month, he's moving mightily with his glory, and he's doing different things, which is wonderful. Now, whenever he hit me the other day and I couldn't even walk, I've never been in that condition before. I've always prided myself in knowing I can walk anyhow. But God had to show me that, no, if he really doesn't want me to walk, he's going to knock me down. All right, so now I knew, okay, God, there's going to be times I'm going to need help, like I've been needing help to walk even to my seat. And so that he said to me, first fruits. So now that he's done that to me, guess what he's going to do to y'all? He's going to start hitting you where you're not going to be able to walk. For the first time in all the years I've been preaching, I drove home drunk in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I drove home or somebody else drove home. Anyhow, I left here drunk in the Holy Spirit. And for years I've watched everybody else do it, and I think, isn't that neat, you know? And I was really happy for them. But then it hit me, and I wasn't asking for it, because I like to sort of be in control. You know, I like to be able to control my body. This isn't the first time God ever didn't let me control myself, but, you know, I sort of like to know what's going on around about me and be able to do something about it. But isn't it wonderful when you can't do nothing about it? You know, God used to slam people up against the wall and glue them there the whole service. And the other night I said, God, don't do that to me. You know, come on. You can do anything you want, but don't do that to me. Because I'm not mocking the Holy Spirit, and that's why that happened. All right, God said, you have been moved into the very center of heaven. Now listen to what he's saying to you, Remnant Church. You have been moved into the very center of heaven, and you can sit at my feet at any given time. Come up hither, has been my cry to you over and over again. You have been so hungry, and you have come up hither over and over again, but you did not recognize those times of great visitation. Each time you answered my call, I changed and rearranged things inside of you that you are not aware of at this given time. But time will reveal all things. I am ready to pour out heaven into your bosoms. I am ready to pour out the deep secrets of my heavenly kingdom, just as I did to my beloved John in Revelation. Now let's stop there. I want to ask you guys something. You guys who have gone out in the Spirit, now, do you always see something, or do you just go on the floor and you don't see or hear nothing? How many see something all the time? All right. How many, when they go out, they don't see nothing or hear nothing? You just go out. I never see or hear nothing, but I know God's taking me someplace because I don't hear any noise around about me at all. I just know that I've gone on the floor, and the next thing I knew, maybe an hour has even gone by, and I open my eyes, and there I am. I couldn't tell you where I've been or nothing else. So if that's you, that's good, because God is doing something to you while he has you on the floor. He's taking you somewhere. You know, I was first born again, and, you know, the night he came to my bedroom and shone his light in there, and he says, I had been praying at my bed, and I got up and went in bed, and all of a sudden my whole room lit up, and the boy said, get out of bed now. I jumped out of bed and knelt down on my knees again. Next thing I know, I'm up in the heavenlies looking down at my bedroom. My husband's laying there asleep, and I'm kneeling on the floor. But my spirit man is up there in heaven. And we started going. I can't tell you where we went. I can't tell you what happened. But the next thing I knew, I was back in my body kneeling at the floor. So, you know, if everybody tells you, well, you have to see something, you have to hear something, that's not true. I know, because I've been there. So, guys, you know, just know that whenever you're out on the floor, you're being ministered to, all right? And God is putting deep things inside of you that he's going to pull up later on and use for his kingdom. And if you see visions and everything, that's wonderful. That really is. And I know Barbara's seen visions. I know Astrid's seen visions. And I'm quite sure others in here have too. But, you know, that is not a necessity, is what I'm saying. God, yes, oh, well, they knocked me down. No, nobody knocked you down. That's why I don't touch you anymore if I'm the one ministering. Because I was blamed for that. I said, okay, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. I just stand in front of you. And I let the Holy Spirit smack you real good, knock you down. You know, I don't have to knock you down, because I walk in the Spirit, and I rely on the Holy Spirit to do the work, right? It's just like if you're doing deliverance, God wants to use that anointing to just, all you do is sit there and watch them come out. Just watch them come out. That was one of what I was going to teach this morning, but God did what he did anyhow, and so I might teach it later, I'm not sure. I'm telling you, group right there, these people right here in this area, you need to know that God took you to heavenly places when he had you on the floor. And the enemy's trying to make you believe that nothing happened. But it did. It really did. God is preparing you inside to mold you to be the powerful vessel that he's going to use in this dispensation of time we're in right now. Not later on down the road, but right now. And some of you ladies here, I don't know where you come from or anything, but I'm going to tell you right now, you are vessels of honor that God has been preparing for years to use at this given time. And he's going to open the door of opportunity for all three of you to go forth and do the things that you know that he's calling you forth to do. There's something inside of each one of you that you know that God is calling you to do a works for him, but you're not quite sure what it is he's doing. He's going to start revealing that to you even tonight. A couple of you are going to have dreams and visions tonight, and God's going to be revealing to you what it is and where it is he's taking you to at this given time. And since he started with you right now, he's never going to quit. Because he said, in this era, in this dispensation of time, when he starts something, he's going to keep working with you until Jesus comes back. Jennifer, you and your mom are included in that too. And you and your mom have been sort of lingering in the background. Talk to me, Lord, talk to me, talk to me. He's done talking. And now he wants actions. He wants to work through you now. So now you just have to be listening intently to what he wants. He'll be telling you what he wants you to do. Sometimes on a daily basis, he'll speak to you and tell you what he wants done that day. He wants to use you, all right? And I'm also hearing him say that, Jennifer, you and your mom, he's going to talk to you about different people. He's going to tell you things about them. And then he's going to make sure they cross your path. And then you'll minister what he spoke to you about them, to them, all right? All right, God said, you shall write book after book about the heavenly realm. You know, about the heavenly realm. We see book after book about natural stuff, but it's going to start being about what's going on in heaven. These books of truth will whet the appetites of the readers, and they will desire more and more of my kingdom, just as you did. See, it's through your books that you reveal things about the heavenly realm that's going to get the people excited, and they'll want more of Jesus. This is why your testimony is so powerful, because as they listen to your testimony and what God did to you, that gets them excited, and they want to go experience what you experienced. And I'm hearing him say, some of you through heartache and pain and much grief, God has been ministering to you, and now he can use that heartache and the grief and the pain to minister to others who are going through the same thing that you went through. And you'll be able to bring them to Jesus, because they're going to, in you, it's going to be such a powerful anointing when you speak that it's going to draw them, and they're going to want what you have. All right? When I was first born again and I started the evangelistic tour, I mean, people would just, when I come in the room, they just fall down and cry and weep and weep and weep. They wanted what I brought into the room. What did I bring into the room? Not myself, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was ministering to them, and they wanted what I had. And they would hug me, say, give me what you got, have. Give me what you have. And I said, I've given you Jesus. That's what I have. But I'm telling you, that's how it works. People will come to you and wrap their arms around you and cry and say they want what you have. That's where we're at right now. We're not going there, Remnant. We're there. So what do you have to feed into somebody else? How deep have you gone into the spirit realm up until this night? God said, some of you ladies right there, he's drowning you in his waters, his living waters right now. He's drowning you in those living waters, and those living waters are going to start pouring out of you into other people. And God said, some of you have been looking for such a time as this, and the time has come upon you. Tonight is your night, and you'll never be the same. God is pulling the remnant church. He has been pulling remnant church forth so he can work through us. God said, Remnant, you can go forward from this day forth, holding your head high and laughing in the adversary's face, for you have defeated him on all fronts. If you truly believe the word of God, the enemy has no more power over you. It doesn't mean people aren't going to still come at you. It means you'll laugh at them. And you and the devil in them, because you know that they have no power over you whatsoever. You know, God told me, you know, Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. This is where we're at. He gave me a prophetic word the other day. This is where we're at. We're in that scripture. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws your way. He has no power or no authority over you. And if you can hold on to that and then throw that back at the enemy when he comes at you, he will leave you. Some of that was in the teaching I was going to give this morning. He will leave you. You can no longer say, well, God, I was tempted beyond measure. No. God's made a way of escape. And you don't have to give in to temptation. You give in to temptation because you want to. Or you're still so bound that the enemy still has authority over you. But God says you're free. God says you're free. You don't have to be bound any longer. Because freedom is your front, is what I'm hearing God say. Freedom from all demonic activity. You're free from that. And see, what we have to do, I know some people are bound, but I know what you have to do is you have to grasp hold of that and tell the devil, it doesn't matter what he's doing to you, I've gone through this. Devil, you have no good, I belong to God, I don't belong to you. You can't twist and torment me like this. I belong to God. God won the tug of war. Remember, God said, you're in a tug of war. Enemy's pulling you one side, the devil's pulling you the other way. He said to me, it's up to you who wins this tug of war. I wanted all of Jesus. I didn't want anything of the world. So it was very simple for me to who was going to win this tug of war. But if you're still wanting part of the world, Jesus hasn't won anything yet. He wants all of you. 99.9 doesn't work. 100%. You know, I've been going through a trial and a tribulation in my home, and the other night I repeated what somebody said about me, and I cussed. And my grandson was standing behind me, and he grabbed me, he said, Mom, he started crying, don't ever go there again. You're better than that. You're bigger than that. Please don't go down to their level. Stay up where God has you. And he's wept and he wept. And he said, I know that I'm part of your problem. I know I'm causing you pain and heartache and tears, but please don't ever, ever do that again. And my two grandsons were there, and they said, tell my mom not to swear again. You know, I didn't have to let the enemy take me to that place like you said. I know better. But the hurt just pulled up there and see, I have to get rid of the hurt, or the enemy will do that to me every time. What hold does the enemy have over you that he can come to you and pull that thing up and cause you to sin against God and cause your testimony to be tarnished? Think about it. I can about guarantee every one of us in here have that spot, that little button that the enemy can push. Yeah, I was watching Jensen Franklin the other night, about a month ago. I always say the other night, and he said, you know, he was always one, you know, you never have any problems, you never have any problems. I'd love to listen. He's a good preacher. And the other night he said, which shocked me, he said, tonight I'm fine, and I don't need you, but you need me because you're messed up. He said, I might not be fine tomorrow, and then I'll need you. He said, but let's help each other through this dark time that we're in right now. So your two pastors are actually being honest and saying, it's hitting us all. The enemy's trying to, isn't that what God said too? He's out to take all of God's children out. How about each one of you? What is it in you that you know is a button for the enemy to push? And God's opening up the altar right now, and I would really like for you ladies to come up, please.